Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh
okay.
My God.
So,
okay.
Let's unpack that Tears of the Kingdom trailer. Reb, you seem like you're pretty much like the most excited person here, and that is saying a lot because we're all quite hyped about it. What are you loving about what we just saw about Tears of the Kingdom?
Did you see Link? He was driving a car.
I know.
I say this like happily. I love that I still have no idea what this game is about.
Right.
Not a freaking clue. Like, someone's gonna make a lore video in the next 10 minutes and put it all up there with a bunch of theories, and it's gonna be completely wrong, and it's gonna be great. Like, something about the Blood Moon, and that music is still there, yeah. And he's, like, lifting stuff and throwing it. He's driving a car and flying through the sky. I just want to be in this again. Sweet. I love Breath of the Wild so much.
That beast on the bridge covered in fire is really awesome. I think that, like, the thing that strikes me immediately about this, aside from just the darker tone and aesthetic, is the overhaul that all the enemies have. Like, they all seem stronger, smarter, they have cooler armor, they are more dynamic in the way they interact with the world, they can grab on the, you know, paragliders and go flying around and stuff like that. Like, I'm playing Breath of the Wild right now, and a lot of this armor that these characters are wearing is different now. It's more robust, it's strengthened. I love it. Like, everything just feels more alive this time around.
Yeah. Jeffrey, what are your thoughts? Where are you at?
Yeah, it's very. I'm thinking of like Ocarina of Time and the Majora's Mask. Yeah. And it's like Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. Like it feels very like almost scary for like a Zelda game. Like I like when we cut to like the really like beautiful day, I'm flying through the skies, and then at nighttime, I'm like, oh wait, I'm afraid. Well, it's already scary to be outside at night in a Zelda game because that's when all the monsters rise from the dead. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that's the whole vibe of this game, and I'm very excited for that.
It's actually true of real life, too. The monsters come out at night. By the way, this is Nintendo Voice Chat. We are talking about the Tears of the Kingdom new trailer where Link drives a tractor through a big field that turns into a hovercraft. Brian, how you feeling?
I mean, I started tearing up at the end, right? Like, just like the title. There's also, like, there's some audio that was playing that feels like it needs to be reversed and to reveal some secrets. But it seems like they did a bunch of, like, they've kind of legalized a bunch of the weird stuff that people were doing in the last game. Like people were like, how do I make a car using, you know, magnesis and barrels and like a old shopping cart? And in this game, they're like, oh, I'll just give you a car. Like they gave you a motorcycle last time around. So it's super cool to just see them bring in all this powerful new stuff and all these new toys to play with. Like that's ultimately what these Zelda games are about, is just about just the playfulness of getting out in the world and treating it like a big sandbox. And I feel like they're just giving us more and more tools to mess with here.
Yeah, I'm kind of almost speechless because it so far, now granted we didn't get a whole lot, but we got more than we've seen before. It looks like what I was hoping it would be like. It's darker, it's gloomier, there's like the stakes seem higher. There's a section of this trailer where he's standing on what looks like a guardian because the tentacles sort of come up, and it makes me wonder, is this the prequel? Is this what happened 100 years before Calamity Ganon, or is this like where do you think this is on the timeline?
I don't think it's the 100 years before, because we saw that in the Hyrule Warriors game.
Yeah. Right.
We know what that world looks like, but I do think it's possible it is I think it like very likely that it's post Breath of the Wild. Like it is a sequential sequel in that sense, just because of how Zelda looks. But I also think it's possible, like one of the theories floating around is that there's some time traveling shenanigans going on, given the different looks that we've seen Link have in the trailers, and the way like Ganon is positioned kind of in the bits that we've seen. But who can say?
Right.
I did recognize, I think, some of the locations in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Some of them look familiar.
The town.
There's sort of like the layers theory here, where there's just, you know, like there's that sublayer where things are really bad, and then you could go up into the sky where it's almost Skyward Swordish. It's a little nicer. It's tough to say exactly just yet, but it feels like there's going to be a couple of like almost parallel, not necessarily dimensions, but just like regions that are stacked on top of each other. And so I'm wondering how all that's going to work. But man, it's so good looking, and like I know we've had all these worries about, you know, the Switch Pro and how this thing's going to run and stuff like that. I mean, it feels like they're pulling it off so far. There's obviously going to be some sections where you go into a busy forest and it slows down to 20 frames per second. But right now, I'm pretty happy about how this thing looks.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there. It looks better than I remember when they showed the first Breath of the Wild trailer, and we're like, well, there's no way that is like running on current hardware. And it turns out that it wasn't. But it looked better than we thought the Switch was capable of doing. And I'm pretty stoked about that. Reb, how do you feel about the look aesthetically? Where are you at?
Oh, I am super happy with it. I mean, it just looks like what Breath of the Wild looked like, only like spruced up a little bit, perhaps because they've had even more time working with this technology and working with this hardware. I was never in the camp that we needed a new Switch for this. I fully think my prediction is that we just carry on until the next generation without anything new, which, by the way, I should have made you do something for losing that best set. But that said, like, the developers that have worked on this have been working with this hardware like so intensely for so long. They know how to make it sing. Brian's right. I mean, you know, we're going to go into a forest. There's going to be some little goofy stuff. But I am confident that I am not going to be thinking about that remotely while I'm playing this.
That voice we're hearing, that new villain, like, we still don't know much about the conflict here. You know, like,
right.
So all of it is incredibly intriguing. I just cannot wait for this game. I really like what they're doing with the art direction this time around. It's just, it's just like Jeffrey said, it's just like a little bit darker, a little bit more sinister. That new enemy right there that was just like made of giant mechanical cinder blocks. I'm
crates?
So into that.
Jeffrey, do you have your credit card out? Will you be pre-ordering one of the special editions.
I'm not gonna lie, I may have a tab open at Best Buy and Target. Shout out to big box retailers. Shout out to capitalism and corporations. I'm nervous because, like, it's funny. Like, I'm glad that it's gonna, like, we're gonna play this on our, you know, 6-year-old Switch consoles.
Right.
But they obviously, I mean, I don't think they would have ever said what the price would be, but I'm going to be very curious when they're going to be like, all right, pre-order's alive and it's $70 and we're not going to explain it because we're Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I have to get that collector's edition. Just looking it up again, it comes with a steel book. It comes with like a booklet, like a poster or a map, some sort of pin set. Not sure the details of it set, but I definitely need that collector's edition for sure.
Yeah, Jeffrey, there was those leaks yesterday of online listings saying that like this game was going to be $70. They didn't mention anything like that on the stream today. And I wonder if that's just because we're all really excited right now and they could put that out and none of us will be mad anymore. We'll just go like, oh, yeah, I got to have it. So there was no like they didn't undercut this awesome trailer with like, you know, something that was immediately going to punch our wallets and make us sad. So.
Yeah, there was like a brief moment during the Game Boy Advance reveal, which we'll talk about later, where I was like, all right, you'll need the triple expansion pass for this one. I'm like, no, but we don't need that. We're good. We're all good.
I think it will be $70. It's probably dropped already and we just can't see it because we're on the show. But it's probably going to be $70. And I think people will complain for like 5 seconds on Twitter and then forget about it because every game is $70 now, guys. I mean, this is just the world we live in. It sucks, but... I do not think people are going to blink too hard.
Mm-hmm. Eggs are $70 now.
Eggs are $70.
They have anti-shoplifting tags on
Tears of the Kingdom, or you could buy one egg.
No replay value.
Which do you want?
No. And the collector market is awful for eggs, but unless they're Fabergé. So that comes out May 12th. That is less than 3 months away from now. But today, when we're all done, which is what I'm immediately going to do, we can go get Metroid Prime Remastered, which is probably actually like hit me harder than like as much as Tears of the Kingdom I was looking forward to, because I did not think, because how long has it been, we've been hearing people say this is ready, Nintendo's just holding on to it.
It was bordering on parody and running joke to the point where we're like, there's no way this will be real. We've like summoning circled this thing 100 directs in a row now. It never shows up. And it just felt like one of those things that seemed so obvious. There were rumors around this thing that it was done in development and basically just sitting in a refrigerator at Nintendo for 5-6 years now. So it was just surreal to see this. Now, it's not the full trilogy, which, you know, Nintendo has done interesting stuff with the way they like kind of parse out their vintage collection stuff. If you look at like the Super Mario 3D All-Stars collection, it had all the 3D games up until Galaxy 1. They skipped Galaxy 2. Like the Zelda game Skyward Sword they put out on its own. We still don't have Wind Waker or Twilight Princess. So Metroid Prime, I'm hoping they get to the full trilogy eventually. But at the very least for now, it's awesome to know that the first game is remastered and available on Switch as of today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Reb, will you be downloading this game after we finish today, or any of the games really? But we're talking about this one now.
You know, probably not. I'm not a big Metroid person. I'm sorry.
What?
I know that's a sin here. That said, like when this came out, I wasn't like playing games socially really. I was just playing them like very solo. And now I have, you know, I live with my partner who really is into Metroid and who I suspect is downstairs downloading this right now. And so I imagine he will play it. And
Shout
I imagine
out.
I will get to watch him play it. And I'm really excited to be exposed to it passively and to just see what all the fuss is about. And maybe if I'm intrigued enough by watching him play it, maybe I'll pick it up at some point too. I'm glad the option is there and it's really cool to get to see so many games in this direct came from other eras, whether that's the whole GBA stuff or the GameCube stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting to see a lot of new life breathed into things that people have loved for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got modern controls, or you can do the bad controls that are hard to go back to. But Jeffrey, will you be playing with modern controls or old classic?
So, yeah.
You'll wave bird out.
This will actually be my first time playing Metroid Prime as well, because I only played the Metroid Primes on Game Boy Advance.
School's
and, like,
obsession.
The SNES. No, I know. I was, honestly, when it was the GameCube era, I was too busy playing Super Mario Sunshine and Pokemon Colosseum.
Correct.
So, I'm very excited to, try this. I'm sad the physical version isn't until like later this month, because like I want to just play it now, so I'll probably just get it now. But I'm very curious, how are the original controls? Because it's funny in the director, like, you use the left stick to move and the right stick for camera, and I bet all the kids are like, that's how every game is. But how did they work before?
I don't remember
not exactly how it worked.
Not like that.
Most GameCube games, they worked in favor of the controller itself. Like, it seemed fine at the time, and the game was built around it, but modern controls are going to change this. Like, I jumped into GoldenEye on Xbox recently, and with dual stick controls, it just feels way better and slightly easier. So I hope they account for that here too.
Yeah. Man, I am probably going to double dip. I think I'm going to buy this tonight and then buy the physical edition, because I just love physical editions of games. That's exactly how they get me. That's why they can charge $70 for something. But I don't know how much this is going to cost. All I know is that I'm getting it. I'm so excited. It's like a complete surprise. Like, I didn't think we were ever going to actually see this. It's a little bit of a blow that they didn't, you know, like you're saying, Brian, like, they didn't release the other two. And based off of, like, the 3D collection, like you're saying, they probably never will. But hey, I'm fine. This is a lot of game. And honestly, what would happen if they gave us all three is I would play the first one, and then I just would be like, ooh, I'm all Metroided out.
Third one is really good too, so I do hope they get there eventually. Two is pretty good. It's
two's okay. Yeah. It's hard. It's way harder than the first one.
But I think they're gonna get you're gonna get people less excited when they drop two as a trailer during the direct. Like, this is so I think it, like, packaging the three of them together would have been the smart play. But, like, you know, we have multiple people on the show who are going to buy this today and possibly double dip, so that's why I don't do finances for Nintendo.
There's there's no possibility. It's a for sure thing. I'm just a big dumb sucker. But so those are our thoughts on the incredible Zelda trailer and the Metroid Prime remaster, which to me kind of stole the show a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think it might have for me personally. I mean, that's up for debate if you want to debate me.
I'll do that.
The final, like, 10 minutes was basically just hit after hit of really incredible stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Game Boy announce, which we weren't expecting, Pikmin 4, which started the show, the Splatoon 3, and then there's a ton more right here on our Nintendo voice chat after show. Thank you for joining us, Super Ninfriendos. We love you all very, very much. Oh, hey there, Super Ninfriendos. This is a special edition of NVC. We just got finished watching the highly anticipated Nintendo Direct. We already talked about Zelda. We talked about Metroid Prime, but there was another old-timey star of this Direct. Actually, two, if you want to get technical about it. Actually, there was, like, more than a few. This was, I think, if you're 30 years old, this was like Christmas for you, because all the games you loved as a child are back. So I'm talking about, of course, the Game Boy games, Game Boy Advance games coming to Switch. Let's start with the fact that they are bringing these classic handheld consoles to the Switch. Jeffrey, I heard you ask if they'll turn off the backlight to fully replicate the Game Boy experience. My question is, why do you hate the Nintendo Game Boy?
wow. Kind of put it on the hot seat.
You're on the record, by the way.
Yes, that is true. This is sort of, this is on me. I mean, I have so many memories of playing my Game Boy Advance just in the car, in the back seat, and using the street lights to sort of light the screen. Never got a Game Boy Advance SP, which, of course, has the backlight built in. So imagine my joy and excitement to see all these green games that I can play on my Nintendo Switch. The Game Boy, the fact that you could even play it in different colors, like, it was like Game Boy Color, Game Boy Regular, Game Boy, like, you know, there's just like, yeah, like all these, like, kind of very fun, like, it's just like the quality of life that we always hope for when they make remasters. And God, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who's not excited for Alone in the Dark, the new nightmare, Brian?
I was about to say, a very eclectic library here. I mean, there's a bunch of classics, and there's a bunch of stuff that, like, Nintendo definitely called every company and was like, are you in? Are you coming to this party? And, like, a lot of people didn't call back, but then some did. But I think what's awesome about this just in general is that this is, at, like, additive value to a subscription that a bunch of us are already paying for.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, you mentioned before the break, like, we thought this is going to be one of those things where they would just, like, hike the price And I think a bunch of us would have been like, ah, fine, here you go. But like comparatively, Nintendo Switch Online is cheaper than the competitors. And you're getting like, you know, Genesis, Super Nintendo, NES, N64, and now Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, all in there. And they didn't jack the price up. And I'm pretty excited about that. And the lineup of the future, like the Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons games, Kirby Tilt and Tumble, stuff like that, is it's really cool to see. And like you said, like being able to play in the classic puke green or in black and white or with Game Boy colors, like I'm very into that. And Minish Cap.
Yeah.
It's very
Minish Cap. Yeah, I Minish Cap, it feels like such an enigma to me because it was just on the Game Boy Advance and it was such great memories of just sneaking around the rafters of a restaurant as a tiny little Link, and now we can play it. Like it's such a joy and a rare moment when you're able to we are just getting all these games included in our, you know, if you're already paying for the membership, like it's just like oh, I don't have to pay or do anything. Like this is truly a surprise treat, and it's like days like today that I'm just like, wow, I love video games.
There's some
video games.
I was gonna add real quick, there's some nice little bonuses here too, like you can play some of these games online. The port of Super Mario All-Stars 3 Super or whatever it's called,
Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3,
yes, that one originally worked with this thing called the Nintendo e-reader, which was like this credit card reader that you plugged into your GBA, and you bought card packs that had levels on them and you swiped them in there. And they just quietly said that all of those levels are going to be included in this. And that's like a bunch of basically Super Mario 3 DLC. It's just going to be on Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah. Reb, are you stoked? Are you into this? This Game Boy?
This is where I like eat a little bit of crow here, because I have been on NBC so many times and like shamed the people who were in Nintendo Switch Online, because I just was like, nobody plays these games. Nobody does. And I think the Game Boy stuff is cool. I never expected them to put Game Boy Advance stuff on there. I figured they would draw the line like very cleanly there, and Game Boy Advance was too modern to be on here. Game Boy Advance is my childhood. Like that was the system. I mean, I had a Game Boy Color too. I didn't play as much on that. Game Boy Advance though, that was my thing. And so seeing all these things that I played as a kid, or games that I did not play as a kid but knew about and wanted to play, I'm kind of losing my mind a little bit. And especially the fact that Golden Sun is on here. What is that doing here? How did this happen?
Finally.
The promise of more to come, right? Like, I mean, I know Nintendo is kind of weird about what they decide to release on these
extremely
things.
Extremely weird,
and why.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, I mean, the fact that we still don't have Donkey Kong 64 or Super Mario RPG is kind of silly. But I am hopeful that I will see more things that I'm really excited for on these things in the future. And probably gonna open up Nintendo Switch online, whatever that app is, for like the first time in a couple years.
You didn't play GoldenEye, Red?
That was my
no, definitely not.
What do you call it? My Nintendo Online rat. Like the first two games were like the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo services on that. But real quick, I'm gonna go through the name of the Game Boy games, and then we're gonna get to the Game Boy bit. So. We've got Tetris. Who likes Tetris? Who doesn't like Tetris?
Exactly. I love how they described it like we didn't know what it was.
It was amazing. Like, you line up blocks and make them disappear with magic.
They go away.
It's Tetris.
And they come back.
Get a higher score.
It's a nightmare.
When it gets to the top, you lose. Super Mario Land, 6 golden coins. Very good one. The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening DX. Now, Brian, I believe this is your favorite game of like all time.
Never played it. No, I was finally check it out. No, it's a fantastic game.
Gargoyle's Quest, a little bit of a deep cut there. I didn't expect to see Gargoyle's Quest. Game and Watch Gallery 3. Number three, which is of course the Game and Watch titles recreated with modern hardware, as only modern hardware emulation could provide of those LCD games. Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, which I guess. Why not?
Sure.
Metroid 2, Return of Samus. Very good game. Wario Land 3. Kirby's
Dream
Land.
So stoked for that.
Yes. And of course, the promise of more games added to the in the future. And I was pretty excited because I thought, oh man, that's just so satisfying. And then they hit us with a 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, by the way, as Reb was talking about earlier, Game Boy Advance games also being added. The first wave, Super Mario Advance 4, Super Mario Brothers 3. That's just one game. WarioWare Inc.,
Mega Micro Games, Kuru. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I don't speak
Where's
Japanese.
Schneider for that
Where's
one?
Pear? Yeah, he'd be like, oh, that's such a great game. Oh, I used to play that when I.
Stick,
anyway.
The rotating. Yeah.
Yeah, the rotating stick game.
Kuru 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 Ku
wonderful Mario Kart game, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, The Legend of Zelda the Minish Cap, and of course the promise of more games in the future. And these are also all available like right now if you have the Nintendo Online Expansion Pass, which before now was only really good so you could play like Ocarina of Time and Pilot Wings. Or maybe that's just me who's playing Pilot Wings all the time. Yeah, it's just me. So, Jeffrey, what Game Boy Advance games are you excited about today? What are you looking forward to? What are you hopeful?
I am so glad you asked, Seth. I just want to tell everybody right now that every day when I clock into work at IGN, I listen to ambient music when I work, and the ambient music of choice is always the original soundtrack to Sonic Advance. All right, chat, I need you to blow up Sonic Advance, Sonic Advance 2 and 3. Honest to God, don't leave the live stream right now, but Google Angel Hill
yes, please.
Zone later.
Stick with us.
You'll thank me. Yeah, you'll thank me. Sonic Advance, first of all, I've been very vocal about this on Twitter and everything. Nintendo Switch is my favorite console of all time. And so the Game Boy Advance was my first ever handheld, so it feels like a natural kind of like, it's like a return to form for me personally. I know a lot of people obviously have different first consoles and handhelds. But Sonic Advance, like, made me love video games. It got me into the Sonic franchise. You know, it came out right when the GameCube came out, which is crazy to think. And the fact that, like, the Nintendo Switch Expansion Pass has the Sega Genesis app, I'm very hopeful for Sonic Advance. I mean, we have Golden Sun, we have all these other, like, kind of, like, random games. Like, if I can play Sonic Advance legally, which is how I play every single game.
Of course, obvs.
I do. There's no other way to do it. But I will
not without
play
going
Sonic
to
Advance.
Jail.
Yeah, of course I'm not. Yeah.
Video game jail.
Oh boy. If I can play Sonic Advance on my Switch, I mean, like, there's so many great Sonic games on Switch. You have Sonic Mania, you have all these great, you know, and like, it's just the, oh, thank you, Red, for showing Sonic Advance footage on the stream. I can hear this video. I can hear it. And I will lose my mind. I love Sonic is one of my favorite franchises ever. I know that's not controversial at all. And I will ask Nintendo to charge me more for the expansion pass if they bring Sonic.
Oh yeah. That's yeah. Old movie.
Why do you keep cursing us? Why is your goal today to lay a curse at our feet?
I'm famously rich, you know, I'm the Monopoly man here, and I'm fine to pay more. But thank you. God, I'm so excited. Yeah, Sonic Advance to the Game Boy Advance. But in the meantime, I will be playing Minish Cap 100%.
Excellent. Reb, what's on your docket first in the Game Boy Advance? Since Golden Sun, we don't know.
It won't be there yet. Super stoked about Superstar Saga. That's a game I played part of but have not finished, and I would love to actually give that a shot. Super excited about Wario Land 3, specifically because I'm a huge Wario Land 4 stan, and I never got to play Wario Land 3, and it is more Wario Land, which is all I want in the world, so I am probably going to pick up and play Wario Land 3 first and hope that they bring Wario Land 4 in the future. And also Super Circuit, that was my very first Mario Kart game that
very good
I ever
one.
Played, and I'm very, very familiar with it, and I've probably gotten horribly rusty at it in the intervening years.
You'll be fine. It's like riding a bicycle that has banana peels that shoot out the back of it. But one of the cool things that they also mentioned was that you can play online with like up to four people, you know, depending on the game. But you can also play locally just, you know, with your friends, which I think is awesome because I didn't know anybody with a link cable. And if they did have a link cable, it was covered in like dog fur and it was in peanut butter. It was really gross, you know, kid stuff like that. Brian, are you going to be playing with up to four of your friends, or excuse me, up to three of your friends? Are you excited about playing these games?
No, I don't want to play with these games with anybody. I want to play these games alone. It hunched over my Switch, like I did with my Game Boy and Game Boy Advance during my darkest childhood years. I think it's going to be great. It's super exciting and fun stuff, you guys. No, WarioWare is one of my favorite games ever made. I hope all of you try it. It's super, super good. It's probably the best WarioWare game, and it's they got it right out the gate. The new levels are the levels I never got to play. The e-reader levels in Mario 3 are awesome. Minish Cap, like Jeffrey said, but also like this opens the doors for Metroid Zero Mission and Metroid Fusion, which are phenomenal games, and I think they'll head their way that way soon. We got a bunch of Game Boy and Game Boy Color games on the 3DS, like kind of quietly, and only a handful of GBA games, and they were only if you bought the 3DS early and before they dropped the price, and then they apologized to you and sent you like a little certificate picture you could look at, and then a handful of games you could play. And that was, I think, the last time I had Minish Cap in playable form legally on a Nintendo system. So yeah, bring that back. I'm very excited for that.
Can I make a confession right here and right now in front of all of you, my friends, my new friends?
Maybe.
Safe space.
We might judge you.
The first wave of these Game Boy Advance games, I have played none of them with the exception of Mario Kart, Super Circuit. So I kind of missed out on it. So I'm sorry. But I'm really looking forward to playing them after the show.
Happy birthday
today. Thank you. Oh my God, what a present it is. It's really my birthday. So
honestly, Seth, like the Legend of Zelda Minish Cap is so good, almost equivalent to like just like you have access to like Tears of the Kingdom now.
Okay,
that's how good that game is. It's just a beautiful, great Zelda game. Oh my God, I'm so excited for you.
It's gonna be the first time for me to play through all that game, so I'm really excited. But we need to take a break. When we come back, Ryan, Reb, Jeffrey, and I will be checking in with the audience. That's you, and we're gonna see how you felt about that Nintendo Direct. This is Nintendo Voice Chat, the world's most important and only Nintendo podcast.
This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it, and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices, because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
We are back. Okay, we've talked about Zelda. We've talked about Metroid. We've talked about Game Boy ports. We want to see what games you at home are most excited about. Jada, who is our mod supreme, who is the Kang, the conqueror of chat, was throwing up polls left and right, which is why we love Jada. Jada is amazing. So we're going to see what you, the audience, liked and didn't like so much. But first, we need to talk about the elephant in the room, or the giant man who's made of boxes in the room. $70 for Tears of the Kingdom. It's confirmed. Brian, you said you like literally just like had it confirmed.
We just got the press release from Nintendo. The standard version, which will be available at a suggested retail price of $69.99. The collector's edition will be $129.99. Includes a physical version of the game. So yeah, this is the first $70 first party Nintendo game that isn't a Game of the Year version, isn't an expanded version, isn't anything like that. This is just Tears of the Kingdom, the brand new entry in the flagship Zelda franchise, is $70 now. So this is, Nintendo has now stepped into the $70 software territory, which is not unexpected because that's where everyone's going these days. But also it's a little surprising because they're only doing it for now with one game, and they're doing it this late into the generation. So it feels a little odd.
It's a little bit strange, but in Europe they had a price increase on the Switch hardware that we didn't. So I think we dodged a bullet there. But yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer. Reb, does this diminish your excitement at all?
No, I called this months ago. This does not shock me at all. If anything, like I feel I get it. To be clear, I don't want to like shame people for being upset about this. Video games are very expensive. Generally, even more money being asked for them is very frustrating. I'm with you completely. I just like this is like such an obvious business move for them because, as Brian said earlier in the show, Breath of the Wild sold just like stupid amounts of copies, just piles and piles of them flowing off the shelves. To this day, it's still like in the top 20 in the NPD or something, pretty much every single month. Yeah. They literally can't not sell it if they try. Obviously, they were going to charge more for this. If they were going to charge more for anything, it was going to be this. And this is like the perfect gateway for Nintendo to make a business move into this space and then justify it for future games, because this is a game everyone's going to buy no matter what. So yeah, it sucks. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
You're
going
to buy Tears of the Kingdom is what you're going to do.
Buy it twice, probably.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sorry everything's expensive. I wish it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that chat is like blowing up right now, but we're going to take it back a little bit and we're going to look at some of these polls that Jada put up. I'm going to ask you all to give in your input, just to make a guess, an educated guess. So the question is, beside Tears of the Kingdom, what is your favorite overall from today's show? The selections are Pikmin 4, Metroid Prime Remastered, Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, or the Game Boy Plus Game Boy Advance Nintendo Switch Online expansion. So what do you think, Rev, what do you think people in the chat were most excited about?
It's probably Metroid, right? Like that's everyone loves.
I'm letting everybody have
the
a turn.
The little brain guys, that's what they like. They like those.
The brain guys.
That's what they like.
Excuse?
Brain guys, brain girls, Prime. Actually.
Little brain girls. sorry.
Yeah. All right. That's a fair guess. Jeffrey, what do you think? Pikmin 4, Metroid Prime, Kirby, or Game Boy games?
I would say Game Boy games. I feel like everyone's, including myself, a sucker for online features. So, and it's kind of booted. I want to say free. It's not free, but it's like it feels free. And so I feel like that would be the biggest thing.
Okay. Ryan, where are you at? Where are you thinking the voice of the people has landed?
It's got to be Metroid. I mean, I think we're like at peak excitement for Metroid Prime 4, which we didn't get today. We'll complain about that in a bit.
Kind of a blow.
But, yeah. But this one is just one of those, we can kind of let the air out a little bit. Like we have been waiting for this to get announced, and it's finally official. It's finally real, and it's out today. So that was one of those things where not only is it officially confirmed, but like, well, the second I hit X in the corner of this window after the show, I'm going to go download it.
Yeah.
You know, that's how excited we are.
It turns out that is what the chat is most excited for. Overwhelmingly, 48% of the respondents said they are most excited by the favorite from today's show. Whew, that was hard for me to say, was Metroid Prime Remastered. Pikmin 4 and Kirby were at the rear, and Game Boy and Virtual Shop with 26% was second place. I don't know why I went in that order, but apparently the audience is excited for Pikmin 4, Dead Cells Castlevania DLC, which, yeah, okay. Brian, I know you're a Castlevania guy, mm-hmm. like that sort of thing, but are you into this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dead Cells is awesome. Like, I loved that game, and it was already, like, close enough to feeling like Castlevania in a lot of ways, so I think it just makes perfect sense to throw these worlds together. Like, I'm never really, like, somebody that goes back and plays DLC for games like this years later, but Castlevania is enough to get me back in there. It looked really fun. There's a bunch of classic music they remastered.
That's
for it.
What, like, that was the hook for me, was hearing that music. Yeah. It's not quite the DS collection that we all have been hoping for, but that's all right. That can come another time. The audience is also excited about Splatoon 3, Bayonetta Origins, and, of course, Octopath Traveler 2. Reb, you have to choose one. One of these. Pikmin 4, Dead Cells, Splatoon 3. I already know what it is. But,
what do you think it is?
It's Splatoon 3 expansion pack.
Okay, good. I was worried you were going to say Pikmin, which I love. I think I want to play Pikmin 4. I've never actually played a Pikmin game before. And so I think I want Pikmin 4 to be my first one.
Wonderful.
If I have to pick only one, I'm getting the Splatoon 3 expansion pass. I was, like, mildly underwhelmed. I need to go read up on what all the details actually are, because from that trailer, it seems like the first part of the pass is just, like, a new hub, which has all the same stuff as the old hub, and there's no reason to pick one over the other except aesthetics. I hope I'm wrong. It seems like there might be more. I don't know. I mean, they've been adding, like, new weapons and outfits. There's probably going to be more anyway. But that second bit,
the thing
with, like, the weird, like, bleached coral reef and the creepy, like, that looks sick. And I freaking love Splatoon, and I haven't dipped in a couple months, and I'm absolutely dying for an excuse to come back.
Okay. Jeffrey, if you had the choice between being the top scientist in your field or having mad cow disease, which would you choose? That's a reference. Now, what are these games would you want?
I mean, I haven't played Splatoon 3.
That's okay. This is fine.
But it was the same way that Splatoon, like, when the Octo expansion came out for Splatoon 2, that was, like, that's what made me, like, jump in. I was like, oh, I really want to play this. And I was playing the main story, and I was like, oh, this is really great. And seeing the teases of the, I also didn't play Splatoon 1 because of, you know, I didn't have a Wii U, and so, like, being able to, like, see, you know, the kind of older hub worlds, and then also the side order thing, I feel like is
I kind of love that.
I remember the original reveal for Splatoon 3 was just like the wasteland of, like, the Eiffel Tower on you know, destroyed, and it's just like, okay, side order looks like I'm in a multiverse of some kind, which, you know, is all the rage these days, but it looks really great, and I'm gonna get Splatoon 3 now. So they hooked
good.
Me. And pun intended on that.
Very fun. Yes, it's a fish-based pun, and it's a whole heck of a lot of fun. I probably, personally would have said Octopath Traveler 2 had not Pikmin 4 started the show. I'm really looking forward to Octopath, but Pikmin 4 is, it's just so adorable. It's so fun. But all right, we asked our audience to rate this direct A, B, C, or S, which of course is the highest rank, S tier. So what do you think the overwhelming majority of people in our chat gave this direct? Reb, turning to you.
That's tough. I think for me, it was personally an S. I feel like maybe it was tailored very closely to me, though. So
it was the Reb direct.
Slightly. Yeah. I think people probably gave it an A. It was a good direct.
Okay. Jeffrey, where are you at? What are you thinking?
I also,
you're a man of people.
yes. I do read a lot of comments, and you guys are great. No notes. no, really, we do have a lot of great, wonderful people. I'm on the social team, so I see comments mostly on other websites, Twitter, mm-hmm. Facebook, TikTok, you know, follow us, of course, on IGN. And you guys are great. I think that for me personally, I was maybe expecting more Zelda stuff, like even just with Tears of the Kingdom, than maybe not just the trailer. Because we all remember the original 2017 trailer for Breath of the Wild. I mean, we watched that once a week just to feel something, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I would say that's probably a grade A for me, just because, like, we got so many other great things that I wasn't expecting, and it's always nice to be surprised.
Okay. Ryan, what about you? What do you think the chat graded this Nintendo Direct?
I feel like the chat gave it an A, and I would agree on what I think they gave it. Now, Yeah, for me, it was probably an A. I think it's like it was a lot of nostalgia, and a lot of classic games did a lot of heavy lifting, and I would have loved like some Metroid Prime 4, and even like, and I know this is an old game, but Wind Waker, we were talking about that.
Yeah,
Metroid Prime 4 was the big one. It's still like, where are you? And we still don't. Yeah, there we go. And we don't. You know, they said like mostly this year, and so I don't feel like we got a lot of reveals of stuff that's coming next year. Which was odd. That was part of the wording. But everything that was there, like there are so many awesome classic games and so many of them are available today. So it's hard to be mad at that. So yeah, A from me and I think A from the audience.
Well, I want to say that you are all very plugged in to the IGN audience because yeah, with 34% of the vote, A was the score that chat gave this Nintendo Direct. However, 27% said this was an S tier Nintendo Direct. You're a winner. A winner is you.
That's the trophy from that bad truck game, Big Rigs. I shouldn't know that.
There's no such thing as a bad trucking game. So, 23% gave it a B and 17% gave it a C, which, of course, we all know is an average score. So they thought that was an average direct, and I'm sorry. You're entitled to your opinion, but like maybe, I don't know, feel the sunshine on your face and just try to enjoy life a little more. But, We didn't really, I mean, I'm just going to say right now, I don't think we saw very much new about, like, we still don't know anything about Legend of the Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, really. We saw some more things, but we don't know anything about.
I promise you, just watch YouTube for the next, like, several days, keep an eye on it.
Well,
promise you a bunch of lore people are going to dissect this trailer 27 different ways, and they're going to come up with all these, like, really cool theories, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, yeah.
We still won't know anything about Tears of the Kingdom.
I mean, it was wonderful. I love it. I love everything that I saw. But at the end of the day, I don't know anything more than I did really the last time they gave us a trailer that yes, I do want to. I want to know everything. Like, show me an hour of the game. It's going to be a 100-hour game.
I don't want to see an hour of the game.
I do. Hey, show me.
What?
Nintendo?
You go look at that by yourself. I don't want to see that.
It's too bad. You're coming with me?
I don't think anyone has bought my goodwill so thoroughly as Nintendo has with Breath of the Wild. It is my favorite game of all time. It's probably a good thing I'm not doing the review because I just love it too much.
Okay.
I trust them like implicitly to make this a good game. And if it turns out it sucks, then it turns out it sucks. But I feel like it probably won't.
Okay.
So I don't want to know anything. I just want to fall into it.
Fair enough. Jeffrey, final thoughts before we wrap up.
I feel like I blacked out this whole time because I keep thinking about downloading the Game Boy Advance app, which I'm seeing on the internet that is now on the eShop as of right now since we are live. I'm gonna be playing Minish Cap. I'm clocking out early. I don't know if any of you guys can approve that time off, but
everybody go do that.
Okay,
I can't
great.
Approve any of that for any of you. And if let's just do it anyway.
All right, I'm in.
You can't arrest four people.
Video game jail.
Yep. Don't want to go to video game jail. Brian, final thoughts on the Nintendo Direct.
This Direct was so jam-packed that I just remembered that Birdo is coming to Mario Kart.
In different colors. Multicolors.
That's how much stuff that was in there. I'm ecstatic as like an old person who is really happy to play a bunch of classic games in one place. Yeah. The Switch has been this really great system for that. So many great, great games keep coming to it. And having all that in one spot is fantastic. I'm going to go play Metroid Prime today. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I'm right there with you. I feel overall like this was a little bit like Nintendo swerved on us, but in the best possible way. I did not expect, most of all of the best surprises I absolutely did not expect. I think that added to my overall enjoyment of the Nintendo Direct. I would probably give it like an A+. Not quite S tier. If Metroid Prime had been in there, Metroid Prime 4, yeah, forget about it. But A+ performance by Nintendo. But I'm sorry to say, we've run out of time today on Nintendo Voice Chat. I know I'm having the most fun, but I guess I get to go download 7,000 new games to my Switch. But this is Nintendo Voice Chat, or has been Nintendo Voice Chat, the world's most important the world's most important podcast. Thank you all for joining us, Super Nintendos. You can listen to us every week on IGN.com or YouTube, IGN Games. On Thursdays, that's when we put out a new show. It's a lot of fun. We love you all very much. Thanks for hanging out. This has been an awesome time. Reb, Jeff, Brian, this is awesome. Let's go play some video games.
Yeah. Woo, let's do it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.